The death of a university graduate in northern China's Tianjin province has sparked a heated discussion over the safety of online recruitment, as a young man has reportedly been lured into a pyramid scheme in the coastal city. Yes, let's talk about the pyramid scheme revealed by, unfortunately, the death of this young man.
Sure. So the body of the 23-year-old Li Wenxing, who came from a rural family in Dezhou, Shandong Province, was found floating in a pond just over 2 weeks ago. The former Northeastern University graduate had traveled to Tianjin after receiving a job offer from a company called Client Server International, which it found on the Boss Direct Hire recruitment platform online. And the thing is, the Client Server International has been later discovered that it's not a legitimate company. However, the Boss Direct Hire recruitment platform is one. So you can actually find some real jobs on that platform, meaning that people are assuming that if I'm looking for a job there, it's safe. But apparently, according to this case, not exactly. And after arriving in Tianjin on May the 20th, his family and friends say that they lost contact with the graduate, apart from a few WeChat messages asking for money. And later on, they've received a message saying that don't give anybody any money, no matter what. And then we found that the dead body. And that people have discovered that the man has actually been forced to join a pyramid scheme. And this pyramid scheme is actually a very, very, let's say, Chinese version of it, because two things are majorly involved in this. The first one being recruiting new member, and the second one being selling some kind of products with a ridiculously high price, or selling an idea and asking people to invest.
Yeah, so here I think what happened with this case is that this guy, poor young man, he's a graduate, he's looking for a job. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of easy to fall into these traps that I don't think necessarily people would associate it with pyramid scheme. But let's give pyramid scheme a little bit more.
Well, yeah, let's also talk about how it's so different, I think, in China.
Yes,
too,
please.
Because
yeah.
Yonglin, you had said that it was just those two things. I actually think in the U.S. you'd find recruiting and this like alluring, like be a billionaire, you know. That's how they get this recruitment. So this dream of making money, you know, that's a lure when you're going fishing. You know, it's pretty easy to pick up the fish, you know. And then on top of that, so that's like recruiting as well. You know, you're recruiting with this idea of, hey, you can make tons of money with me. But yeah, so, you know, I think we'll find as we go through this discussion of what happened to this young man that there is some big differences. In fact, I would say it's almost like a pyramid scheme with a twist of a cult. Mm. And so we'll discuss that here in a little bit, but maybe I can talk about what exactly a pyramid scheme is. So imagine a pyramid. It works its way down, right? So a pyramid scheme is the idea that I'm recruiting people and they pay me and they recruit more people for maybe an idea or a product, but that was never the intent of these things never had the intent of being realized. Like, oh, I have this great investment opportunity. Guys, let's recruit people. They pay us $100 each. And then this grows and grows through people recruiting, saying, hey, I got this great, you know, idea for investment. You give me $100 and we can make this happen. I'll make sure you get paid tenfold. And then maybe it just keeps growing like this. And so sometimes, you know, it can be like this product, which is a little bit shabby. And you say, hey, I'll give you this product, you sell it, but you have to pay me for the product. And you find maybe you're paying me more money than what the product's worth. Maybe I don't even tell you what the product's worth, but you're trying to sell this product. And if you're just trying to sell this product and most of the profit in this pyramid scheme-like scheme, I would say scheme, but in fact, there is this thing, what I'll say is it's called multi-level marketing, which is very similar to a pyramid scheme. The difference is it's focused on the product. The money is primarily made through the product. Though people are being recruited, there's not a whole lot of money going on in that recruitment. More so, you're saying, hey, sell this product. You could be rich. And in which case, they'll recruit themselves thinking, hey, I can sell this product and I'll make some money. That, in many countries, is legal. But pyramid schemes are just about recruiting more and more people, and that's how the top guy, the top people get the money, whereas the recruitment people end up getting kind of nothing is realized from this.
So yes. If I have to pay a 5,000 membership fee to get into your organization and sell like 100 products to other people, that is more towards the pyramid scheme kind of format. But if I'm paying like 100 yuan to your organization at a membership fee and started to sell products that worth maybe thousands, that's more like a direct selling, right?
Right. So it's more of a focus of recruitment, and everybody that's recruited pays up to the top. And there's not really any fulfillment of a promise or a product that's really being sold. It's more you make money through recruiting. And in doing so, me on top, I make a lot of money. And this can be a great idea that sells, but I don't give you the punchline to it, or so many different ways. Whereas in this MLM, you tell them, I got this great product, and you try to recruit people telling them that you got this great product, and they just have to sell it. So many times you'll find in the U.S., there's a line that's blurred, I think, between what a pyramid scheme is and what a multi-level marketing scheme is. And sometimes the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, has to go through certain mediums, because it's hard to get these guys, because sometimes they operate on a line that you would say, oh, they look like a legitimate business. They got the legitimate name. They got everything they need. And so they pull people in. But as you'll find in this certain case, you know, a young man, he paid with his life, and that's really sad. And that's where a big difference, I'd say, in how these kind of schemes happen in the U.S., at least as it pertains to maybe a company or selling or something like that, is different, because this young man paid with his life. And in my little knowledge, I guess, of pyramid schemes and what I've heard about them, that's something that doesn't normally happen in the U.S.
And here there is differences that between pyramid schemes, how that is being operated in China and in the U.S., and even within China. Like within the last almost 20 years, we've seen the government putting an effort trying to clamp down on pyramid schemes, and we've seen some progress, but still, this is one crime that seems to be very difficult to root out. And with the immediate response we have seen being reported that comes from the Tianjin local government is that the government has been offering a reward of 20,000 yuan for tip-offs, and also conducting checks on apartments. And it seems like the operation of the pyramid schemes in Tianjin, this specific case, is one good example, is that it's very covert. Like, it's difficult to find them out. And let's talk about how has this type of pyramid scheme with a Chinese characteristic or Chinese twist to it has been expanding in this country.
Well, first let's talk about, the history. So pyramid selling first kind of entered China, or became prevalent in China, in the 1980s. And soon after, the country reinvigorated its economic reforms to try to clamp down on these kind of illegal business practices. So in, 1998, these kind of things, there was a regulation that banned this kind of industry, if you could even call it that, more so a scheme. And so these schemes rely on members to keep them going, right? So they're not really selling products. How this scheme keeps growing is through recruitment. So what they'll do is they'll tell you, go talk to your family members, go talk to these people. You'll get such a big reward. You know, there's always them holding that carrot over your head. You'll get such a big reward if you do this. And so, according to media analysis, in 2012, there were over 3,000 pyramid scheme gangs operating in China, involving more than 12 million people. So that's not so long ago. And we can see that even with clamping down, those blurred lines, like I was mentioning in the U.S., might even be prevalent in some cases here, where it's hard to catch them because they operate through legit business sites, like New Honglin had mentioned. And so people are seeing these and thinking, oh, well, maybe the sites checked this place, and I have faith that the sites checked this and it is a legitimate business, so I should apply to this. It sounds great. God, what am I waiting for? This kind of thing. And, it's in terms of geographic distribution as well, in terms of these schemes and the gangs that are committing them. I guess over half of China is seriously affected, according to ChinaNews.com. So that's the situation as it stands now. There has been reform. It did enter into China, or became prevalent in the 1980s. But we see, even though with bans and regulations on this, it's still affecting the country.
Yes, and there are two major styles of these different version of the pyramid scheme, I guess.
Yeah.
The first one is more like a keeping people in hostage kind of situation. So they lure people in with some certain investment or with a job opportunity like we've seen here, or just the member of the organization saying, come and visit me, let's have some fun, have a reunion. And then when the people arrived, he simply be kept hostage because he cannot go outside of the house by himself, where he can't contact his family members or friends via phone because his phone is no longer with him. And that in that situation, there will be members of the organization forcing you to call your family, call your friends and relatives to rent you money or borrow you money, just simply lying to your friends to get money. That's the first kind of scenario. And the second one is more, I would say, sneaky and actually more lucrative. That is to brainwash so many people that are involved in this. They invite you into this kind of class or let's call it speech, and you're surrounded by enthusiastic people saying, this is the huge opportunity you will never get. This once a lifetime choice for you to make. And if you do make that, you're going to be a billionaire. And do you want to be a billionaire? Do you want your family to be a billionaire? And later on, when you're surrounded by all these kind of concept and atmosphere, it's really easy to be brainwashed.
Yeah, I think also too, you see these different ways of doing this scheme prevalent in different parts of the country. As I understand, in northern regions, these schemes are more, like you said, focused on maybe the less bigger fish, but more of the numbers. So that is, you know, in the north, they're not asking for that much money of an entry fee, but they're more aggressive about how they follow you, how they get your number, how they don't let you go, how they keep you in as an investment. It's really sad. And I think this is how this young man fell prey to one of these kind of schemes. But this being said, you know, usually it's over 10 people living in a shabby apartment. It's nothing fancy. And you know, what's really sad too is they're preying on, I think, many times the rural mentality. Those are those maybe living in less affluent parts of the country. But people that have big dreams, people that want to be bigger, people that want to realize their potential. And so they get on one of these job sites, you know, what is it, Boss? Yeah, Boss. Anyways, they get on one of these job sites. They see something like this. They believe in the site because, as New Hong Lin had said, you know, there's credible businesses that are on there. So maybe they believe these people check all the businesses that are listing jobs. And they see something like this. And maybe somebody who has a lot of ambition, someone who really wants to change their stars. Those are the people that are taking the fall in these, I would say, northern region schemes. And that's so sad to me, is that these people want better for themselves. You know, they want to do bigger things. They want to rise out of maybe poverty or ruralness to be a part of, you know, the Chinese dream. And then somebody takes advantage of that ambition. That's just sad. And then, you know, as New Hong Lin had said, maybe in southern regions, you got these people when they invite you to the one-on-one meeting.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one-on-one meeting. They're focused on more affluent people, the bigger fish. And sometimes these people are educated. But the thing is, in the South, they do their research. They know maybe how to sell and talk savvily about economics and this and that. And so these even educated people, people with high IQs, fall prey. And what they do as well is maybe in these one-on-one meetings, they take you to a nice residential area. And you know, you go to this place, you're like, wow, this is so nice. This place must be doing really good business. I got to get involved. I got to invest. What am I waiting for? And boom. So you see, there's two groups of people. The spectrum is wide in how we're affected by this scheme. You see the highly educated affected as well. And you also see those from the rural background is affected as well.
Yes. And I'd like to say one golden rule here is that don't get overconfident for yourself, because even though you think you are highly educated, you have a good job, and you're just trying to find a good investment, when the investment is promising you that you're going to get your money doubled or 10 times your money back in a very short period of time, it's basically always a pyramid scheme in that case. And also, when you're in that kind of scheme, it's really hard for you to identify them, because they study people. They know how to persuade you, how to manipulate you. And I've talked to this lady who has been the sadder end of that scheme, but she didn't actually fall into it. And her idea is that I can provide such productivity to the society. If I'm getting more than I provide, it means someone else is losing. I don't want to be in that situation. And I think that is one of the golden rules.
Yeah, I think you guys make some really good points in telling us and revealing to us what are the patterns that you should be watching out for. And I totally agree with you guys that this is one difficult scheme that for you to spot in the beginning, as it could be, because the pyramid scheme, how it works, has often been in disguise with seemingly possibly lucrative investment opportunity, or I've checked out some of these ads online, which turn out to be actually pyramid schemes, is that you could be like investing in a new app, or you could be working towards like a new video game.
Or a health beverage that's about to be released.
All those things sound very alluring to people. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, Ryan, you make a really good point in the breakdown of who have already fall victim. I think rural is one thing, and maybe it's because that those who live in rural areas are less aware because they haven't gotten so much information about the crimes that have been busted in the past. And also, I don't think this is necessarily a rural versus urban issue, as I think I would just sum it up in saying that this is a poverty issue. It's for all of us who feel that we didn't necessarily catch that golden opportunity to make more money when you see some people have, and you feel left out, and you see this. It's easy to fall prey to, but we need to get people's awareness up and guards up about this. How can you avoid yourself from falling into a pyramid scheme?
First of all, I'd like to disagree.
Okay, what is that?
I do think maybe the rural folks, as opposed to the urban, they're less knowledgeable about maybe the economics or the fast-paced internet world. It's very easy to maybe show them your iPad and all these fancy graphics, and they'll believe, you know, whereas maybe somebody in the urban areas are like, I've seen that before, dude, there's nothing special about you and your iPad, and you're showing me this stuff, like, I'll believe it when I see it. But maybe to somebody who maybe hasn't even necessarily seen a whole lot of iPads in their life, this seems legit. So I think they are, in many ways, the bigger numbers, but not as lucrative to prey on. And I do think it's really sad, because in this case, a young man paid with his life. And I want to say that this is a mix of a pyramid scheme, but also I'd say a cult. In that I would say many times in the U.S. for a pyramid scheme, the worst thing that'll happen most times is you'll lose your money, all right? And you're just like, ah, what did I do? And I maybe borrowed so much money from friends, and but I'll bounce back, you know? That happens, right? Here we see that they're following people. They're taking their cell phones. It's like once you are a part of the scheme, once you buy into it, it's more than just money. It's them watching you. And in this case, you know, this young man, as I understand, was trying to send texts to his family, to his friends. There was little hints that something was wrong. He was asking for money. One of his friends said he was on to the fact that this could be a pyramid scheme. But then shortly after arriving to Tianjin, you know, he was found dead. And so this is something that I think is beyond most what you would call a pyramid scheme. So it's almost a pyramid scheme with a cult. But, you know, I think these often happen as well. And you could even call a lot of cults pyramid schemes in a way. Is somebody's trying to take advantage of you, selling a belief or selling so many things. And then maybe in certain circumstances, if you're a risk to this cult of that was built in a pyramid scheme way, these kind of things might happen. Anyways, regardless, I think this is very sad.
Yeah, and what I would say here is that at the very beginning, when you want to make an investment or join an organization, make sure you check the information and try to find as much information as you can, maybe online or asking questions on the internet. And also, let's take a step back, if you really got tricked and lose some money, just stop right there and don't try to bring more people in.
Yeah, and if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it probably, you know, is a scheme. So guys, keep that in mind. Protect yourself, okay?
Yes, and Chinese laws recognize different types of pyramid schemes, and the worst case scenarios can be punished by a prison term of over 5 years and repayment of 5 times the profit gained through such illegal activity. The law is strict, and the government is putting in more effort in the crackdown of pyramid schemes. Hopefully, lives will be saved from this. I'm sure about that. You're listening to Roundtable.